flying high on Locked On Eagles, your source for the best Philadelphia Eagles news and analysis. I am your host live here from Mobile, Michael Kist. You can follow my X and O work for Inside the Pylon. You can follow my draft and fantasy work for BreakingFootball.com. Follow me on Twitter at Michael Kist NFL. You get your Senior Bowl updates. Also with me here live at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama, the best doggone human on the planet Earth, the best doggone host in the game, Mr. 7-year streak without a bad day. He is Benjamin Solak of Bleeding Green Nation and NDT Scouting. Follow him on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. That's S-O-L-A-K. Ben, face to face with a future legend. How you doing, brother?
All right, firstly, calm down. Secondly, doesn't really matter how I'm doing, Mike. I think what the listeners want to know, having listened to that intro, how are you doing? Because you sound delicious.
It was a long night. Me, Mark Schofield from Inside the Pylon and Locked On Patriots, who we're going to be talking with throughout this week and next week.
The enemy. Yeah.
But last night, I took him down in a game of pool. I think it's a foretelling of how things are going to go down in the Super Bowl. I drank a lot. I talked a lot. Whisper yelled a lot. Had some Eagles takes. Had some Senior Bowl takes. I had a good time. You could put it that way. I had a real good time. That's why it sounded like this.
I feel like we should have recorded that and just published that for the podcast then, Mike. Like, that would have been the move.
It was a great time. Look, anything going on in the Eagles world right now of note, other than people making poor life choices and picking against the Eagles?
So there's the video of the guy running into the pole. Do you see this?
Yes, yeah. Yes, beautiful.
That was special to me. It means a lot. I think that really well encapsulates. What's important to me is that he's wearing a Brian Dawkins jersey, because it really, you couldn't have picked a better outfit to be chasing a train and run to a pole after an Eagles NFC Championship victory than a Brian Dawkins jersey. So I like that. There was also, Eagles fans are donating to Mike Zimmer's charity, and one of the latest trends in the NFL, donating to a fallen opponent's charity, which I really, really like. But like the report is kind of that they're doing it for bad behavior, which I do not believe to be the case, because Philadelphia has never once apologized for bad behavior, nor was the behavior any poorer than it would have been anywhere else. It's one of the most overblown narratives, in my opinion. Every fan base has fans who suck. Every fan base has fans who are great. Some fan bases are less apologetic just by nature, and that's the East Coast nature of being in Philadelphia.
Right.
It's a regional thing. We're not any more awful than anybody else, so it's some nonsense. But hey, keep donating to Mike Zimmer's charity. Donating to charity is good. Whatever.
Look, we're going to be talking Eagles-Patriots throughout the week. No big news has come out right now, so we're going to kind of shift our focus because we're here in Mobile about to go to the practice for day two. Day one practice. Some guys that stood out for me immediately, the MVP for me. And plus, we had weigh-ins as well. Yeah. Let me talk about a couple of guys that at weigh-ins that blew my mind with how they looked. Mike Gesicki, the tight end out of Penn State.
Yeah.
I was absolutely wrong thinking that he had a dad bod before. I don't know if it's something about the Penn State uniforms.
Right.
He looked absolutely chiseled. He looked fantastic. And he was good in practice as well. Separated at will. Worked really well at the break point with his hand usage. Just had a great day overall. I thought he was great. And the other wide receiver from Penn State, Deshaun Hamilton, was the MVP of the day for me. Separated at will. He had a point where he would just had four fantastic reps and was winning all day. Who stood out for you as like the MVP of the day for you?
Right, my guy for the day, Mark Schofield, Inside the Pylon. Now, my MVP of the day was Nathan Shepard. This kid's out of Fort Hays State. Mike, you can't point to me Fort Hays State on a map. I can't point to where Fort Hays State is on a map, right? We didn't even know how to spell the name of the school when we were writing about him. There's no E in Fort Hays State, in case anyone was wondering. Nathan Shepard, defensive tackle, playing a little bit of three tech, a little bit of one tech for the North squad. Just embarrassing people. No matter who was put up against him, there are some good interior linemen for that North squad. You got Wyatt Teller out of Virginia Tech. You got Will Hernandez, all 340 pounds of him. He was one of my favorite weigh-ins, Will Hernandez. He hits 340 pounds on the scale. They announced it out loud. Hernandez gave one like nonchalant little nod, like, yes, that is correct, and then lumbered off stage. I was terrified. But Nathan Shepard was my winner of the day, both in weigh-ins and then both in the performance as well. Shepard weighed in over 300 pounds and started clapping to himself as he left the stage, right?
He almost wrecked the scale.
Right, so he walked off the scale, and like, you know, when you're looking at it, there's the scale, and then the players step off of the stage like behind a curtain. The second he got behind a curtain, he started clapping to himself as if like we couldn't hear it because we couldn't see him anymore, which was hysterical. But we're talking, he's an absolute animal. He's got great mobility through the entire body. Hips wiggle really, really, really well. Excellent hand usage, very violent. Knows how to get to the rusher, has a, how to get to the passer, has a plan. Nathan Shepard bursted on onto the scene. This is your Senior Bowl riser for the week. You're going to be reading articles about him on Wednesday. If you want to already read articles about him, just go to ntscouting.com. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't matter. Shepherd is my guy on the defensive side. On the offensive side, my MVP for the practices, there's a lot of different people you want to go through. I was really, really impressed, and I already brought him up with Will Hernandez, the guard out of UTEP.
Yeah, monster.
He's, so he's 340 pounds, which is like a lot. Like this, that's a very, very big amount of person. But the lateral mobility was better than we had ever seen it. It was much better than we anticipated coming out of UTEP. He looked like he could be limited in that regard. I thought he moved really, really well. He was able to reset his feet when he was in pass protection. You're still not going to play him in a zone scheme. He's not going to be a big mover. He's 340 pounds, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
Right? But he has absolutely the athleticism to hold up in pass protection. You put him on a team that runs predominantly power. You put him on the Jaguars. You put him on the Cowboys. He's going to kill people. He's going to kill people for a living. You're going to pay him a lot of money to do it. I love Will Hernandez. He was a lot of fun.
All right. So before we talk about some other prospects that impressed us, we want to give a quick shout out to the tpublic.com Eagles storefront, official Locked On Eagles storefront. You got a teeny tiny baby that's crying too much. You want to get him a Locked On Eagles onesie. It's going to calm him right down. The proof is in the pudding. Check my timeline. Check the Locked On Eagles timeline as well. My little tiny baby Augustus was freaking out the other day.
Yeah.
We put that onesie on him.
Immediate silence.
Immediate silence, man. If you're a parent, you're stressed out and you don't think you can fix it, go to lockdowneagles.com. Get yourself a baby onesie. Get yourself a Locked On Eagles t-shirt. Get yourself a copy cup. Get yourself a notepad. Whatever you need. We got it. Go to the Locked On Eagles storefront at tpublic.com. All right, so Ben, looking at some of the other players that impressed us from sort of an Eagles lens, as far as maybe linebacker, offensive tackle, there was a linebacker that impressed me. Trey Williams from Auburn had a play where he blew up Rashard Penny in the backfield.
Yeah, it was an animal.
Got the biggest reaction of the day. I think I let out an expletive that Mark Schofield captured on video. Blew my mind. He was flying around. He was making big-time plays. I think if we're looking at a linebacker, he would be one of the ones that I would look at. As far as a number two wide receiver we might want to look at, they struggled. The wide receivers really struggled outside of Deshaun Hamilton. Jaleel Scott had some drops, especially moving to his right. Low balls on slants. He had a drop that was a ball that Alshon Jeffrey would bring in all the time. Allen Lazard looked like an absolute chiseled human being at the weigh-in, but he still struggled in practice as well. As far as a number two wide receiver, I don't know if there was anyone that really stood out for me that would maybe replace Torrey Smith if we decide not to go with Mac Hollins. Offensive tackle, Ben, I know you liked a couple of people. Who did you like?
Yeah, offensive tackle class. If you're going on to the south side, they were the first team to practice. Alex Kappa.
Yeah.
Humboldt State. He had great tape. He worked with LeCharles Bentley, right, who's an excellent offensive line sort of a mind. Coming in, he was the guy that you were going to watch. He was the potential tackle who was going to rise. You said that he was lean. Kappa came in 6.05 at 299. That's really, really good.
Yeah.
299 is 300.
Yeah.
And that's perfect for him. That's really great. He looked good, too. He carries his weight very, very well, Kappa does. Excellent, excellent footwork. Clear from the work from with LeCharles Bentley. Again, an excellent resource. His kick slide is absolutely gorgeous. Very controlled. We talk about the division. Hips up to hip down, right? We're talking about you want that torso, that shoulders to hips to stay right above one another, the spine perfectly in alignment, and then the feet operating like pistons. Boom, 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 as he's resetting. But that torso stays still. That's what you're talking about with Kappa. He had one bad rep against Marquise Haynes, who's an edge out of Ole Miss, who I've always really liked.
Mm.
He's showing out here. Ole Miss did not let him tee off and rush a lot. Now that he's just getting pure rush reps, he's showing what he's got. So Kappa had one poor rep there, but overall, excellent mobility. Kappa knows how to time his punch really, really well, too. Understands how to maximize his length. So that's excellent stuff there. Alex Kappa's the guy who impressed you as an offensive tackle. Also on the South team is Brandon Parker. When this kid weighed in, he walks out and there's like an audible, when he steps out.
Yeah.
6.077, so he's basically 6'8", 300 pounds, right? So he's lean for his size, exceptionally long. He's got huge, huge, huge legs, which really lets him build a very wide base. It can be a problem sometimes. You want to balance space, but he covers a lot of distance. Really impressive stuff. So Brandon Parker, also on the South, he's the late round sort of a guy that you're interested in. North team offensive tackles don't impress as much. Jamil Demby out of Maine isn't really a guy.
Right.
Brett Toth, this kid out of Army, right, who never did a pass set in his entire life in college, Mike.
Yeah.
And so he's a little bit lost in the sauce there, but he's got some physical tools. Ryan O'Neal's the guy you're interested in as a developmental guy. His body type is tight end, magnified 150, right? He's just a super huge tight end. Doesn't look like a tackle. It looks like a tight end, just super big. And so you don't know how well he can hold that mass, when he's going up against power rushers, but he's got insane athleticism.
Yeah.
Right? And so when he's moving in space, you add him onto the Eagle line, you put Lane Johnson at left tackle, you put O'Neal at right tackle. Those are the two of the five most athletic tackles in the league immediately, right? But O'Neal needs a lot of work. Tyrell Crosby is the guy on the North team. When you're watching the North, Tyrell Crosby out of Oregon, he's got the chrome helmet. He's a good player.
He's going to be a riser, too, I think, throughout the process.
Now, Crosby is is to me, he's never going to be a first-round sort of a guy. You know, he's still not yet as consistent, as dominant. I think Crosby will probably be more comfortable on the right side. If you watch Crosby in his sets when he's on the left, you know, he'll abandon his footwork very quickly, and he'll turn his hips and open the door. Mm. On the right side, he doesn't do this. You ask the question why. On the left side, he's worried about speed. He's worried about his ability to handle speed when he's on the left. When he's on the right side, he feels a lot more comfortable in his drive catch, a lot more comfortable in his footwork. So he doesn't worry about speed. He stays more disciplined. So what I'm seeing right now, I like him better. He has experience at both places. He finished up Oregon at left tackle, but I like him better on the right. That's where he seems most comfortable with his feet. Uses his length pretty well. He's got good grip strength. Again, he's not overwhelming to me, but he's a guy the Eagles could get at a decent pick. Within the second round, you can plug him on the right side. He'll be a good player for you. Tyrell Crosby and Alex Kappa, those are my two big ones to watch. Brandon Parker, Brian O'Neill, those are the sleepers.
I like it. I like it. There was another guy as well that, as far as the depth piece for us, when you look at the safety position, I thought Trayvon Henderson from Hawaii had a fantastic day. I was talking with Matty Brown from Inside the Pylon. He was watching safeties for their Inside the Pylon draft guide, and he kept saying, "Look, watch this rep," and he was killing it all day. Showed really good on the one-on-ones, which is a very difficult position for safeties to be in. That's a disadvantage for them, especially for guys like Kaiser White, who are box safeties. You get him in that one-on-one. I thought Kaiser White, you know, held up really well, and he looked great at the weigh-ins. But Trayvon Henderson played really well at the safety position. The other guy I wanted to talk about, James Washington, very polarizing prospect, the wide receiver out of Oklahoma State. At the weigh-in, was not really impressed with how he looked just body-wise, his physical profile. However, his hands must be strong as heck. I thought he struggled because, okay, he's a deep threat, right? Mm-hmm. He runs those posts. He runs those nine routes for Oklahoma State. He runs a curl every now and then, but he is their deep threat over at Oklahoma State. Mason Rudolph can throw those rainbow balls to him. He's fantastic at tracking, and he's got real strong hands. However, what we wanted to see him release versus press. He struggled with that. We wanted to see him separate at the break point on short and intermediate routes. He really struggled with that. He lacked a lot of nuance at the top of his routes on in-breaking, out-breaking routes. I don't think he can make those sharp cuts to me. However, still, he wasn't getting open. However, when the ball got in on him, he was passive catching. The ball was hitting his body, but he was cradling the baby and he wasn't dropping it. He had really, really strong hands, and it impressed me. Other than that, what did you see from James Washington? Because he's going to be a very polarizing prospect for people. His testing is going to be very interesting to me as well.
Yeah, I got to disagree with you. I really do, I'm afraid. I came into the week high on Marcel Aitman, his teammate of Oklahoma State, low on Washington.
Aitman struggled.
Right. You go through the weigh-ins. Aitman came in small for his frame, which sounds stupid because his frame is his size, right? But Aitman comes in, right? Brother's 6'4". But when you only have 33 5/8 inch arms at 6'4", your arms are small for your frame. And you only have 9-inch hands, your hands are very small for your frame. Coming at 216, you do not weigh a lot for your frame. So yeah, he's tall, but he's wiry, right? And he's not long. So you see such a tall player who makes so many catch radius plays on tape, you kind of extrapolate that he's got big, strong hands. You extrapolate he's got long arms. Puts the kibosh in that, right? Kind of it tells on him a little bit. So Aitman did not have a great weigh-in. Washington, very interesting frame. I was so much less interested in Washington's numbers. You know, obviously him coming in below 5'11 did take me by surprise.
Right.
But I was less interested in his numbers and more interested in the way that his frame is built. So high-waisted, right?
Yeah.
Which for a 5'11 guy, when you talk about 5'11, you know, he's a little bit north of 200 pounds. He's 5'11 and 210. Why isn't he playing running back 5'11, 210?
That's what I thought, too.
You look at his frame. You understand why. You have legs that long. You really have the opportunity to eat up space, right? Once they got on the field, you saw a lot from Aitman, what you saw on his tape at Oklahoma State, where his routes aren't super crisp. They aren't super sharp. They don't really need to be. Aitman's the sort of guy, well, he'll run 5 yards on a go route and then just turn around and be like, yo, throw it to me. I'm pretty tall. Let's do this thing, right? Yeah. Not a lot more in there as far as that goes. Washington, and I got to sit in the XOS film room, break down some of the All-22 tape that you get there, that they supply you here, run it through real slow. Washington, I thought, did a great job at his breakpoints. I thought Washington did a real nice job working the stems of his routes. I thought he put out the nuance there that we weren't sure we saw on tape. That's what I thought I saw from Washington. Varying step size, using some high leg sort of situations, working inside and outside leverage to get the corner where he wants him, generating space. He's not sharp out of his breaks. Occasionally he is. He's not the sharpest out of his breaks. He definitely is better as a straight line athlete. I'll never deny that. But I thought he did very well knowing how to create the space that he needed for his quarterback,
right?
Manipulating the root stem, manipulating the eyes, little head fakes, little head bobs. He knows what he's doing. He's polished, right? He is limited in his ability to move laterally. He is not a round one receiver, but he showed me a lot of what I wanted to see from him to be comfortable drafting him. So I was impressed by Washington. And not the greatest hands catcher either. I'll give you that too. But that his work in the root stem was very, very strong for me. I like Washington. And when we talk about guys who the Eagles could potentially bring in, you know, as far as these wide receivers, somebody who might want to replace with Torrey Smith, I hear you. There are a few guys who stood out, and then a few guys who weren't too much for me. I think Deshaun Hamilton isn't going to be drafted that highly, so he's a guy you can bring in as a consistent sort of a Z guy.
Yep.
The other guy I would bring up is Michael Gallup, which Gallup may cost you something. But Gallup is a very well-built player, right? And he's a strong player, right? Just excellent working through contact. He makes some good contested catches. Not going to overwhelm you with speed. Not going to overwhelm you with burst. Not going to overwhelm you with quickness. None of that. But he's a good, eddie, steady player. And his work, I was talking with Kyle Krabs, director of scouting, NDT Scouting. He said that Gallup's work in college, their play mentality, the way they attack the football, the way they attack corners, reminds him of Aguilar at USC, right? And Aguilar's tape at USC was apparently first round top 20 worthy.
It was
just a little rich. Yep. Right? Aguilar had good USC tape. And so you get a guy like Gallup out there who's able to work with Aguilar, Alshon Jeffrey, you get some of that ability to move the sticks consistently. I think that could be really interesting. So I liked Washington, and I think Gallup's my guy in that regard.
Yeah, very interesting. And like we said, James Washington is going to be a very polarizing prospect.
Yeah.
We're going to be working through him through the process. We're going to have disagreements about him probably. But I was talking with Brad Kelly, at BradKelly17 from BreakingFootball.com. The other day, he was on the podcast yesterday, did a great job helping us preview some of the concepts that we might see in Eagles against Patriots in the Super Bowl. And his comp for me, when we were driving up, we were talking about James Washington, and he said, I think he might be Torrey Smith. Would you agree that there is some of that to his game as far as maybe being straight line-ish, got some speed to stretch it? Can track. And remember, Torrey Smith today isn't the Torrey Smith of 5 years ago.
That's exactly what I was going to say, is that my image of Torrey Smith's game has definitely been tainted by 3 speed outs and 2 drops per game.
Yeah.
That's kind of definitely ruining my image.
Yeah.
But I can absolutely hear that, and I can definitely empathize with that sort of a take for sure.
Yeah. All right, Ben, what else do we have today for the gentle listeners?
So, all right, over at ndtscouting.com, I'm keeping up with the quarterback. So if you're listening to this and you're interested in quarterbacking play every day after the Senior Bowl practices, I release a quick little post, keeping up with the quarterbacks. 8 quarterbacks here in Mobile. Obviously, some big names, Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, some lesser-known names. Kyle Laulett out of Richmond's a fun guy. Kurt Benkert out of Virginia is interesting. Talking about all these players. So that's the main work that I'm doing. Obviously, Locked On Eagles, every single day we'll be releasing a podcast here from Mobile, keeping up with any of the Eagles news that comes through. As we get ready for the Super Bowl, we're in the Super Bowl, Mike. Super Bowl, So getting ready for the Super Bowl. That, by the way, is the, I don't know if you know what the Super Bowl is. That's the final game. It's the best game of the season. It's the one that only the best teams get into. The Eagles are in that one, in case you're wondering. Anyway, so going to the Super Bowl. We'll be prepping for that, obviously, as much as we can, and keeping eyes on specific Eagles prospects. Eagles staffers arrived late to Mobile. Makes sense. They had just won the NFC Championship game. Mike, that's the game you win before you go to the Super Bowl,
correct,
which is the best game.
That
right?
is correct.
Right.
My producer is telling me that is correct.
Yeah, and so they were a little bit late. They arrived just in time for practice yesterday. Saw them chatting with a couple of staffers from Auburn. Saw them chatting with a couple of staffers from Clemson. Now, Clemson and Auburn both have here linebackers, and so you wonder if the Eagles are looking at that position. Dorian O'Daniel is the linebacker for Clemson. Now, he weighed in at 216, so he is a safety. He is not a linebacker. I don't think Philadelphia should be interested in him. Trey Matthews, linebacker you brought up, he's out of Auburn. So I think the Eagles could be potentially looking there. Those are the guys they were talking to. Auburn and Clemson also both have interior linemen here. Austin Golson, who's played everywhere from center to tackle.
Yep.
So he's got swing ability. And then Taylor Hearns, the guard, out of Clemson, both this area. So Eagles could potentially be looking at those two positions. We'll keep an eye on Eagles scouts as they go through the week, be able to tell you who they're talking to.
Yep, absolutely. Ben, we could talk draft stuff all day.
That's what I'm doing right here.
Literally.
That's actually what's happening.
It's literally happening right now. We're having a great time here in Mobile. We will have more updates. Day 2 practice coming up. We're about to drive there and go check it out. We'll be releasing as soon as we can with our podcast. Might be a little more unconventional release schedule because things are so crazy here in Mobile. We got a lot of work to do, man. NDTScouting.com is dropping a ton of pieces. BreakingFootball.com is dropping great content. Follow us at Locked On Eagles. Follow Benjamin Solak at Benjamin Solak. That's S-O-L-A-K, at Michael Kist, NFL. And remember, you got to keep it locked on here on Locked On Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Caw-caw!
What's up, Arif?
What's going on,
brother? We got Arif in the building, yo.